Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Sofa Cinema Club episode number 5. I'm Colson Smith and as always I am joined by
Jack P. Shepherd,
Ben Utah.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together and educate each other on film. It's all about the films we should have seen but we haven't. Each week we come into the studio where one of us has picked a film but the other, and we talk about what we loved, hated and rated. Now, the beauty of our film club is that anyone can join in. All you have to do is watch along with the film at home and then join us every single Thursday. This week's film has been chosen by Jack and Ben for me and you guys at home, and it is Point Break. But before we go into talking about Point Break, as always, how has your week been?
It rained, didn't it? With literally nothing.
Brilliant.
Nowhere to go again. I mean, I'm finding it really boring. Really boring.
Well, by the time this episode goes out, lockdown has ended.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not for Manchester.
It's a lockdown into lockdown, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, it's ended. It's still locked down.
Yeah.
But one thing that there is that's new and that's to look forward to is... today is the 1st of December. This episode goes out on the 3rd of December. What did you wake up to this morning, Ben?
Oh, Christmas music.
Step into Christmas.
Oh, da, 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 da,
da. Love it. Absolutely loving it.
Obviously, everyone does Christmas their own way, don't they? Everyone does it a very different way. Now, what we did, Christmas morning, we put a stocking out for Santa. Mm-hmm. And Christmas morning, you woke up and... Santa had put loads of stuff in your stocking. Whereas some people get their main presents from Santa, don't they?
Do they?
What are you on about?
So that's what some people do.
So you got main presents from mum and dad?
Presents under the tree, mum and dad family.
And they've been there all month?
Been there all month.
You've shaken them, you know what you're getting.
Just get a stocking. Just get a stocking from
Santa. Off the big man himself.
Off the big man, off St. Nick. Speaking of St. Nick, old St. Nick Tilsley, when do you put your Christmas tree up?
Christmas Eve. When the kids were really small, I remember we didn't have one. It was Christmas Eve and it must have been 6. We were in London. And I went down to the lad and I went, Christmas tree, any chance? He went, yeah, 50% off. I'm like... banging, up Christmas Day, down Boxing Day. Ho, ho, ho. They're only about 2. They didn't know. They thought it lasted for weeks.
Yeah. I remember one year, my dad going to B&Q on Christmas Eve and buying it for a penny because they were a penny on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Well, me and your dad, perfect. Jack, when do you put yours up?
Oh, it's usually up around 10th of December, something like that. I'm not mental. Like, you get those mental nutcases that put them up in September, don't you?
Some people have had them up for a long time.
August was the earliest I saw this year. August. August. I'm not joking. August.
Placky or real?
Gotta be real.
I prefer fake.
What?
I tell you why. Everyone goes, oh no, you've got to have that smell. Bullshit. That smell you can get from a fucking candle, right? Those fucking pine needles are a pain in the ass. The dog eats them, you're fucked.
Yeah, it's not good on the dog's paws, is it?
Get a fake one, and then you get it out every year, and you know what you're doing. That real one's shit.
You build your placky one, don't you, there? You get it down from the loft, you build it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, do you know what? That looks mint every year. Take it down. And you've saved and yourself 80
quid. And also
get
the tree that already has the lights attached to it. None of that pissing about untangling them. That's just a pain.
Do you blow it up? Or does it just expand out the box when you go, there we go, Christmas pudding.
Christmas tree fell on me 1 year.
What? Here we go.
1 year.
Here we go.
My dad used to hide chocolates on the tree in like a bauble or something like that. And we used to have this game where we would try and find the chocolate on the tree.
How old were you?
Oh, I'm 6, 7.
Yeah.
I thought I found it. And we're talking a big one. Like, this is a good 7.5-footer job.
And a real?
No, fake.
Fake. It's a family tradition, course, and the shepherds have fake trees. No one in their family has ever had a real tree.
For shepherds, we don't get the real ones. They're bloody pine needles. Just get a candle and a fake one.
Better for the environment.
So I'm pulling on this chocolate, thinking it's a chocolate, and it's not. And I ended up pulling the whole fucking thing over on top of me, and I shit it. I've ruined Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
As far as I was concerned. I don't think my dad was in. I think it was my mum.
Your mum rescued the situation.
No, I...
Get him some paracetamol as he hurt himself.
I got out from underneath the tree and ran upstairs because I was scared.
Oh.
And then I think my mum just sort of like said, what have you bleeding been doing or something? And I went, I was trying to get the chocolate from the tree and it was in.
Climbing tree, get chocolate.
Yeah. We put it back.
Do you ever talk about that now? Do you ever sort of sit around at Christmas? No. Do you remember that time the tree fell on you?
Your mum's going to listen to this and it's going to bring back memories. Or it'll be, you blamed your Tom for
that. Yes, I knew it was you.
So, film, Point Break.
Not very Christmassy at all, in fact.
No, a summer blockbuster, yeah.
Yeah, beaches, surfing, crime. Who's doing the synopsis then?
Shepherd loves it. Go on. Off you go.
Not you.
Go on. I don't do them, you do them. You love doing them.
Okay.
Yeah, he loves it. Look, he loves it. Wow, little face.
Ben's not done one for weeks.
Yeah, but mine are good.
He can do the next one.
I'll do the next one. Here we go. Point Break.
Point Break follows a character called Johnny Utah, played by Keanu Reeves, a young Keanu Reeves. He's a rookie cop, just being promoted to detective, and he gets over into LA and he's doing a crime where there's some bandits that have been doing heists in banks, and they've got away with loads of money, and they've been pissing off a lot of people,
and they dress up as presidents.
They call themselves the ex-presidents, and they are exactly what it says on the tin. And there's a crazy cop called
Papas,
which is played by Gary Busey. He is a cop and in the same department, and he thinks that...
Are you sure you don't want Ben to do the synopsis?
Shut up. He thinks...
Should we ring Jacob and if he's available?
Shut up. Keanu Reeves tries to infiltrate this gang that he believes... Surfer gang that he thinks are the bandits.
Bandits? He's a cop. He goes undercover. He learns to surf.
Shut up. He gets intertwined with the gang.
Mm.
He likes them. They're thrill seekers. They're like jumping out of planes. They're like surfing. And they're like robbing banks. And he thinks, I've got them. It's these guys. And he goes after them. That's the film.
Do you know what? Sometimes I think people would think they just make this up.
Yeah.
But Nat's proved... We do make it up.
Fail to prepare.
That's good. No, that was good. Bandits was good. I rate you highly on that. I think we should rate the synopsis sometime.
I tell you what, that's got to be the worst synopsis we've ever had.
I loved it. Bandits, Johnny Utah, got it all in there. Surfing, skydiving, that's it.
First off, Johnny Utah, innit?
What a mint name. I'm calling myself...
It's ridiculous.
Ben Utah. And they've said at work... They're fine with me changing the credits.
We've got Ben Utah, Coulson Chicago, and Jack Jacksonville.
I think I'd change it to Benny Utah.
Benny Utah's better.
It's very good, isn't it? Benny Utah. Yeah. Hey, Benny Utah. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know where they got the name from?
No, go hit it.
There was an NFL player whose second name was Montana.
Oh, Joe Montana.
And they loved that his second name was a state, yeah. So they basically stole it from that, but they changed the state to Utah.
That's weird.
It's bizarre, isn't it? Because it fits that kind of film in that time. But if you did it now, you'd laugh your head off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your name? Johnny Utah. Oh, okay. Not fuck off. What's your real name? It's not Johnny. No one's called Utah. Why doesn't Boosie say that? But they've all got weird names. Bodie, Papas.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you have to have a crazy name.
He's proud of his name as well, isn't it? It's almost to that level of Bond, James Bond. Like the way he says his name, he's quite
Utah.
Proud Johnny of Utah. What it is. But originally, the film was called Johnny Utah.
Was it really?
Yeah. Before they changed it to Point Break, it was called Johnny Utah.
And the point reason it's Point Break, it's
a surfing
term. It's a surfing term, isn't it? So it's where, is it where the wave breaks, I imagine?
When it hits the ground. Which obviously you know, Jack, because you're quite a big surfer, aren't you?
I have gone surfing and I am very fucking good, actually, I'll have you know.
Are you? Yes. Go on, elaborate, let's go.
I went to Caribbean and I did it there.
I went, Caribbean?
Yeah.
There's no waves in the Caribbean. Every time I look at the Caribbean...
There is. There's loads. We had a red flag day, and I thought, fuck that. I went out and took a board.
Did you catch a Point Break?
Like, I can't stop the waves, man. Who's that? It's Jack Utah. He's out there. You can't stop him. But he looks like David Platt. I know he looks like him, but he's fucking Jack Utah, man. You can't be
Jack
stopped.
Jacksonville catching a Point Break.
Jack Jacksonville
in the Caribbean.
Yeah, he. What do they call it when you fall off a wave? They call it something, don't
look
they?
Look a bit shit.
Keanu Young mixed with comes to the new department with old cop Boosie, who's seen it all. It's kind of like a very well trodden path, isn't it? Young lad, an old guy who's seen it all.
I really like the first scene where Johnny Utah and Boosie meet each other. Mm. He's got the blindfold on, hasn't he? He's at the diving pool.
Oh, the bricks.
Yeah, and he's having to get... And he gives it the classic of, oh, they're giving me this new fucking hotshot partner. Thinks he's all this. He's supposed to be a jock. And he takes the blindfold off and his partner's there. So it's instantly, we're off on the wrong foot, like... Yeah. And you kind of just think they're not going to get along.
But also you can see, I think what Boosie's character can see is also is Johnny Utah can take a gag. He's got something to him, hasn't he?
You'd have to be with a name like that.
You'd think it'd be the worst possible foot to get off on, wouldn't you? The way they met. But actually, it is such a good working relationship that they form and go with. So, yeah, so the first mission that they get assigned to is, you know, they're into bank robberies and they're into money, aren't they? And basically they get assigned the ex-presidents. And Boosie's talking him through all of their crimes. And, you know, he says they normally do it. They do banks 90 seconds. That's a rule. There's four of them. They're in, they're out. They never go to the back. They just get the money and they go. Mm. And he's like, right, well, if you've been working on them so long, have you got any leads? And Boosie gives it the... Yeah, I've got a lead. They're surfers.
The other two cops take the piss out of Boosie, don't they? They laugh at him and go, some surfing shit. Yeah. Oh, he's got his thing about... So Boosie doesn't really want to say. And so Keanu Reeves says, come on, let's look at this car. They go to look at the car and then eventually he sort of has that fight with Boosie to go, are you just one of those cops who's going to take the check, retire and fuck off? Or do you know something? And he goes, yeah, I think I do. And I think they're surfers. And then that's when you get a bit deeper into it and you realise that Boosie's going to have be a kind of, at least a cop, not just like retired. At least he knows something.
Yeah.
If you were going to commit a bank robbery, if we were,
yes,
what masks would we wear? What would we be?
I'd be David Platt.
So we'd all go in different face. I'd go in your face, Craig.
I don't know what we'd be. The Three Musketeers. We could dress up as musketeers to rob banks.
Who are the Three Musketeers? Because it's not D'Artagnan, is it? He's the fourth one, isn't he? I don't know any of the names.
Jack Coulson and Ben.
You'd get a bit stuffed on the sabres, though, wouldn't you? Because we'd have sabres, we'd have swords. We wouldn't have guns. So you'd be a bit stuffed.
It could get messy, couldn't it?
Yeah, you could go, look, just give me the money or I've got a sword. And I'm in full gear with a horse. We escape.
The getaway.
Come on! I'm going to look him up now. I'm sure it's like...
Ride like the wind.
Oh my god, I've heard of these guys. It's the Three Musketeers.
It's the Three Musketeers.
You and your euphonium.
We go and rob them, and if they don't give us the money, Colson's going to play his euphonium.
So Boosie has the brainwave, doesn't he, that they're surfers, and he tells Johnny Utah, and the plan is Utah is going to go undercover, and Boosie sees this as his chance. You know, he's got a partner who wants to work. He says, if you're going to go undercover, you've got to go and act like a surfer, you've got to move like a surfer. So he goes in undercover, and just like Jack in Barbados, takes to the waves for the first time, and he realises that actually surfing isn't that easy. And as he is surfing, he gets pushed out of the way, basically, by another surfer, and then they help him and say, don't come back on the waves until you know what you're doing. This surfer is a girl who is quite a key part to the film, isn't she? And what's she called?
Tyler.
He basically stalks Tyler, doesn't he? He gets a car reg plate and uses his detective skills to find out who she is, her backstory, and where she works.
Yes.
So he finds out a backstory, and part of that is obviously the fact that both of her parents have died. And he goes to work, and he confronts her and basically says, look, I want you to teach me surfing lessons. And she goes, good luck with that, hotshot. Isn't it time that you went back and did something in Utah? Jog on. So he basically then, being the pro detective that he is, uses the knowledge of her backstory and kind of, you know,
mixes it with his own, doesn't he? Yeah.
You know, he makes it like they're the same person. He says, the reason I want to surf is because both my parents are dead and it's the only thing that makes me feel alive.
Mm. Which I'm sure at a point you'd go, that smells a bit of shit. Your name's Johnny Utah. You've just started surfing and your parents have died. I'm not sure, mate.
No, I think it's a very good story. I think he's laid it up quite thick. You can see that she's sort of tough-skinned. You're not going to sort of like, you know, whisper sweet nothings to me and I'm going to flutter my eyelashes. It's only when he sort of like says, my parents are dead, without even asking about hers, she's not going to go,
so am I.
I think yes, yeah.
But she says to him, 6 a.m. on the dot, I'll see you there. And then basically, just like Jack in Barbados, he starts his surfing lessons. He starts his surfing journey.
Interestingly, the guy who taught them to skydive said surfing is the one thing you can't pick up quickly. So if you don't know it, you're never going to be able to surf well enough to make it look like you can surf those big waves. It will never happen. So you see bits of footage, small bits of footage of Reeves on and off the board. He sort of does that bit of training at the beach, doesn't he? Bit rocky. Stand up, get onto the waves. Then he falls down. But he loves the surf.
The big movie montage is kind of all around surfing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is the reason this film is like sexy and attractive compared to every other bank robbery movie is the fact that it's got surfing in it.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be surfing. The film was wrote as skateboarding, and basically they decided that it just wasn't sexy, risky and thrill-seeking enough.
We'd be that. The Musketeers would be the skateboarding. Be like, that'd be us, wouldn't it?
No, we're in the music room playing the euphonium.
They skate on horses, and they've got daggers, and they always shout, one for all.
So yeah, surfing is the key theme to the film, and Utah is slowly beginning to surf, so he's kind of getting in this inner surfer circle. So he meets Tyler's ex-boyfriend. What's he called?
Bodie.
And who's he played by?
Swayze.
Patrick Swayze, who looks a hell of a lot better than he did in Dirty Dancing.
What do you mean?
I think he looks really good in this film.
I'll tell you what happened, right? Coulson's watching it, and you know we've been going through this journey of Coulson's blonde hair. Swayze's got the full blonde mop. Sun-kissed hair. Coulson looked at it and went...
Blonde envy.
Yeah, I want Swayze's hair, please, barber. Give me a Swayze. I want a kind of soft curl and a bit of highlights and a tan, please.
The salt spray.
The girl that Johnny Utah's with had a little thing with Swayze. And he eyes up Johnny Utah, doesn't he? And thinks, who's this guy? And then invites him round that night or play football or something.
Well, they sort of get up in a bit of a fight, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's Bodie sort of sticks his neck out for Utah. Well, they kind of know each other. Isn't it that they played college football
with
each other?
They play that football match, don't they, at night with the headlights on?
No,
You've skipped a bit. No, you've skipped a bit. Have you watched the film?
Yeah.
Have you?
Right.
Yes.
Have you? When did you watch the film?
Not last night, night before.
The bit that Jack has skipped, which is a very important part of the film, is to establish what part of Surf they are from. They can basically find out from the sand, from the hair, what beach they surf on.
Yes.
So he finds out what part of the beach it is, and he goes to that beach. He sees this gang, yeah?
Yeah, but you skipped a bit now. We're talking You both skipped a bit. You both need to watch the film again. So after they meet, initially, they have that football rugby match, that NFL match on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Swayze's character goes, because Johnny Utah bashes everyone out the way, takes Swayze out into the water and goes, and they all go, hold on, guy. This is just a game. And he goes, no. This is Johnny Utah. You could have played pro. And he went, yeah, man. And he'd seen him playing the Rose Bowl, that big college game. And unbeknownst to Johnny Utah, that is the perfect cover. That gets him in. Johnny Utah didn't plan for that. But Swayze's now gone, no, this guy's got something. I know him. You play college football. Then you find out he blew his knee. It blew his career and he says, I'm a lawyer now. Then we get to the hair bit where they've got to try and link a small group of surfers to the same dead president. So it's four or five of them, isn't it? What Boosie says is there's a pack within a pack and that's what you've got to find.
Yeah.
And they're gonna be on a beach somewhere. You're going to need to get... They get some samples, don't they?
Some sand samples
or something. We need to find out where they're surfing, where the best... surf is, where these boys are.
They find out what part of the surf it is. Utah is in. He thinks, I'll just blend in. I'll just be a cool surfer, just like Jack in Barbados. Yeah. He's on the board. He falls off, but he's distracting surfers again.
Well, there's a thing in surfing, isn't it, about having someone take your wave.
Yeah.
If it's your wave, you get off that wave if you're the surfer. And if someone's shit, they take your wave. Like Shepard would have had a go at someone else in Barbados.
Absolutely.
That's my wave, man. I'm Jack Utah. I'm Jack Jacksonville.
Yeah. Jack Jacksonville.
So he takes someone's wave and he kind of gets himself into issues with a gang, doesn't he?
Yes.
Mm. And at a point as an audience, you're thinking...
It's brutal. Punched him in the face.
Yeah. So you're thinking he's found the gang because there's four lads. They turn on him. And they basically say, you're not from round here, you shouldn't be here. Meanwhile, Boosie's sat in the car.
Doing the classic cop thing in those times is sit in a car on your own with binoculars. Massive radio binoculars. I can't see you. But everyone can see you, Boosie, because you're not that undercover.
It is obviously an action film, and there is quite a lot of action in it. So... That's kind of the first, you know, we have the NFL game and that's full on. You kind of see the extent of Swayze and Keanu Reeves. They throw each other at each other. They really don't hold back. Like, all the lads go for it. Like, it's quite a manly action film.
Testosterone flying around.
Yeah. The scene where they beat him up, the four lads. The lead thug is him from, he's the lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Not Flea.
His name? He's the bassist.
Anthony Kiedis.
He's like the lead gangster. However, on this film, on Point Break, the fight director was very like certain that he didn't want people to get hurt and he wanted it to look very good. Mm. So they had fight training. An old lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers goes, oh, well, I want to be in the film. I'll just go to the day of filming that they need me, and didn't turn up to the fight training.
Right.
So he got there and the fight director went, right, you've got one shot, he knocks you out with the first punch because you've not learnt what to do, the rest of them can fight.
Right.
That's brutal, that, isn't
it? So he got twatted with the surfboard then, like, straight away.
But isn't it funny, I was looking at when he shoots guns and when he does that fight, And you look at him there at 24, whatever he is, and you look at him now in his mid-50s as John Wick.
Yeah.
How things have changed in films.
Yeah.
How fights have changed, how shooting guns have changed. Because it looks a bit John Wayne, doesn't it? Surfboard in the face, all fighting around the shower.
Johnny Utah's starting out.
It's a shower scene, but it's a fight. Okay, Johnny, go for it.
So tell me then, where is Swayze at and where is Keanu Reeves at before this film's made?
Oh, well, I mean, Swayze's done Dirty Dancing. Swayze, Ghost was about to come out. He was going to hit big time with that.
He must have been the lead.
He's done Roadhouse as well, hasn't he, Swayze?
Yeah.
Swayze got offered Johnny Utah, didn't he?
I think he auditioned for that.
And then when he read the script, he said, I want to do that part.
Well, Keanu Reeves, I think, had done Bill and Ted.
And is that a bit of a comedy not taken too seriously?
Well, that's complete surfer kind of.
The kids loved him.
Hey,
kids
dude. Loved him. And he does a bit of it in the film. You know, when he goes up to the guy to get the hair.
Yeah, he does.
He plays that character. Oh, man, you got something in your hair, man.
Yeah.
And that's the character from Bill and Ted.
And that was big at the time.
Massive.
The 90s, MTV, all that shit.
And then you've got this, which is, well, directed by Catherine Bigelow, who at the time was married to James Cameron.
James Cameron, who did Terminator 2, Avatar, Aliens.
Catherine Bigelow. So it's interesting to see it directed from a female perspective. What could be a very laddie film has other elements to it. The surf element, their relationship, bearing in mind she's directed it. I like that about it. It has other elements to it. It's not just a robbery film, is it?
No.
There's something a bit bigger between these two, what they're sharing.
So we see the friendship grow, don't we, between Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. Like, we just see...
It's a bromance, isn't it?
It's a love story. Come on, it's a love story.
As the friendship's growing, the case is growing, and Keanu Reeves is getting better as a surfer, and he's also getting better as a detective because they're getting more and more leads.
He doesn't think Swayze's the guy, does he?
Doesn't think he's got anything to do with it.
He thinks it's the other lot, doesn't he? The Chili Peppers lot.
The Chili Pepper Gang.
That's a great name.
Hey, what's your gang name? Three Musketeers. Oh, what's yours? Chili Pepper Gang. That's good. It's much better, isn't it? Maybe we should call it the Chili Pepper Gang now. I've changed it. That sounds much better. Much more bank robbery, doesn't it?
So they set up, they have a stakeout, don't they, for the Chili Peppers gang.
Bandits.
And the bandits. They know that they're going to get them. So Utah, this is his big moment. But the night before they take on the Chili Pepper gang, he goes to a house party, doesn't he, with his newfound surfing friends.
Yeah.
And that's when him and Tyler have a romantic night in the sand.
You know the scene, Coulson said this to me, you know the scene, Jackie, where they're in the water and they're getting, and it's like at night and they're looking at each other's eyes. She
is
freezing.
Freezing. You see her lips?
Lips going.
And bottom jaw.
Bottom jaw.
Freezing.
Freezing cold.
Reminded me of Ben in the Quicksand.
Absolutely. I looked at her and I thought, there's nothing going through her head.
No.
Apart from, I am so cold, kiss me, Keanu, and then they'll say cut.
When they're kissing, you can see how cold she is.
Yeah, I really felt
When they were having surfing lessons, Swayze had done a bit of surfing, so he kind of knew a bit. Keanu had never been on a board in his life. She couldn't swim.
You've got the part.
I did really like her in the film. She wasn't your typical blonde bombshell, you know, Page Three model that it usually is in those action films.
Yeah.
A much better leading lady.
Yeah.
She did such a good job of selling that on her character.
Yeah, she's cool.
I think everyone quite likes Tyler in the film because you don't know how much Tyler knows.
Mm.
You know, when as an audience you start to work out that actually they're the ex-presidents, you do worry about Tyler's involvement until obviously we find that out. But I think she sells it really well.
And also being directed from a female director, trying to make a female character not seem completely one-dimensional, have something about her.
Yeah.
So it's not a complete just like a girl who just services the script. She's got some something about her.
So they take on the Red Hot Chili Peppers gang. Mm. That's when you realise they're kind of out of their depth, because there's four cops, isn't there? There's four FBI agents versus a full gang that have a lot of guns.
A lot of guns.
Boosie using the old one-two of, I've lost my dog, knock, 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 brilliant. He obviously thought about that on the day. Hello, you see my little dog?
Scooby. Guys, come on, Scooby.
Scooby, I've lost my dog. Have you seen my dog? No. No, I haven't.
I tell you what else Boosie does before that, that's brilliant, is when he comes head-to-head with Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze, what does he say to him when he goes head-to-head?
Little girl, doesn't he? He goes, have you seen a little girl?
Yeah. And it's so quick.
No, doesn't he say they nicked his radio?
That's it, car radio. That's
they'd
it.
They nicked his car. What's little girl? What's little girl?
Oh, I don't know. I thought he said, have you seen a little girl running past?
He's smart. That's a good point, actually, Coulson. He runs down the stairs to save his mate, Johnny Utah, sees them getting on and go, oh, guys, someone's nicked my radio. You've seen it. And Swayze just passes it off and goes, God, he's a bit crazy. But he's quick, isn't he? Doesn't blow his cover.
No, but Johnny Utah goes, don't you know who that is? It's Gary Busey. He's mental.
He'll be in Big Brother later in about 30 years' time.
Busey's looking for his dog.
I love that bit. Who thought for a second? Now, we need to get you to the door, and it needs to not look suspicious.
It's how he's putting his mic on as he's getting into character and walking down the street.
Yes, it's like, and he's got the most loose shirt ever. And you think, well, they're bound to see the mic. And he kind of doesn't. And he gets it put on literally 3 minutes from the house. Yeah. Don't worry, I'm undercover. I've got a Hawaiian shirt on and I've lost my dog. They'll never realise.
They go in, don't they? You know, he goes for it, full guns blazing, gives it the FBI, pushes people out of the way, shoots Red Hot Chili Pepper. He got shot first as well, which is quite interesting.
Well, what's weird is the film has been going along. We've had the robbery bit and then it's gone into the surf. It's been quite... We're building it up and then suddenly we get to that house and it... Everyone gets shot. Everyone's
shot.
Nude and everyone gets stabbed in the back. It like suddenly turns into this horror.
All the women naked.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, she's fresh out the shower.
She answers the door naked. The girl who has a fight, naked.
Naked.
All the men, loads of clothes on, and massive guns. It's like suddenly the film, what?
And then Chief Sergeant Jack, Chief Sergeant Wild Hogs comes in and goes, because that's the same guy from Wild Hogs.
It is.
Yes. Comes in and goes, what the bloody hell are you doing? This is Special Agent Bravo. This is Special Agent Montana. He's been undercover and you just ruined it. They were drug dealers. They're not fucking gangsters. They're not, you know, they're not bank robbers. They're drug dealers.
They're not bandits.
They're not bandits.
They're not the bandits that you're looking for. So, Johnny Utah and Boosie have failed. And then Utah's brain starts to click, doesn't it?
Well, he goes on a surfing trip, doesn't he, with Bodie. And it's only when he sort of sees them click together on the waves, doesn't he? Tight group of four guys, and one of them moonies him, doesn't he?
Like he did in the robbery.
And he goes, ah, I recognise those cheeks anywhere. That's when he goes, I've got it. They're the ex-presidents.
But what I love is he goes, but I'm not going to let it ruin my friendship. I'll just be best mates until I catch him. Because then... it's time to really go skydiving, isn't it?
Once he knows it's the next day, doesn't it? He's got a feeling that they're going to hit a bank 10 a.m. Monday because they're off for the summer, aren't they?
What becomes clear is when Boosie early on in the film talks about they're obviously just nicking money to further their surfing careers. So that's the whole thing of it, is that Swayze really isn't a bank robber. It's like a kind of Robin Hood. We don't hurt anyone. We don't shoot anyone. We take the money. We chase the waves, man.
Do they go skydiving before the big chase?
No, it's when they know. They go skydiving when they know, don't they?
Oh, no, they don't. You're right. Ben's right. So this is how it goes. So we have the famous line of, get me to Johnny, get me to Utah. And then they miss it, don't they? The bank robbery's happening.
He follows Swayze, doesn't he? And he sees Swayze go to a bank.
Knows what bank he goes to, yep.
Then they're doing the classic thing, stakeout, Boosie and Utah... They've only been in the car 3 minutes and he wants some food.
He wants a fucking donut.
He wants a massive sub because he knows somewhere near there, go and get a meatball sub. So old Reeves goes out to the hut, Utah. I have two meatball subs and a tuna. And behind him, the car pulls up. And early on in the film, they've said they leave the car running. They nick a car, leave it running. So there's no getaway driver. So you just think, oh, it's a car on the side. And that's what you see. And you see the presidents run into the bank. Utah goes back to Boosie. Boosie loves the sandwich.
Yeah, he does.
And then we start to see the robbery, don't we?
They turn up and Utah's like, oh my God, the bank robbery. And then he does the stupidest fucking thing in the film. Rather than just getting in the car, letting them pull off, follow them, he draws his gun and goes FBI when they're virtually in the car and then they just speed off.
Because I said this to Ben, because I went, well, that's cover blown straight away.
He knows it's up.
He knows it's up, but they haven't even spotted him. He could just quite clearly jump in the car and go, right, Boosie, shh, eyes on the road, follow him.
Shit end to a film. Get out, fire your gun, Reeves. Say FBI, give it the big Utah. I need a massive chase.
Keanu Reeves goes for that. Like, he goes, this is me being action hero.
Well, he's doing the stunt, because obviously the lad in the mask is not Swayze.
It was meant to be Swayze. It was meant to be Swayze. The only reason it wasn't, he couldn't do that day filming because he was doing press release for Ghost.
Oh, really? Because
Ghost was about to come out, so he was in Europe doing Ghost.
Doing some pottery.
Doing some pottery with Demi and Righteous Brothers. He was doing that.
Right, Utah, you're on your own.
So he's went, it's fine, they don't need me for this bit anyway. They can put a guy in a mask. So he's missed one of the best scenes.
Good. What did you think of that chase? Because I know that chase, Coles, and I love it. Chase.
Well, I turned around to you, Ben, and went, oh,
chase me.
I thought that was the end of the film. Maybe I've not seen
yes,
it.
Yes, he did. So they do this massive, massive chase, don't they? And old Swayze, it's got the face on it. There's a bit at the end, isn't there? It's like that look. It's Utah to Bodie, tight shot of his eyes. Is he going to shoot him?
Yeah.
And he goes, no! And he shoots in the air. And it's kind of like that love bit. He can't shoot his mate. He's kind of soulmate. And Coulson went to me, oh, because it carried on, obviously. We had another half an hour.
An hour?
Oh, an hour. He went, oh, I thought that was the end. Because when we started it, you went, I know the end to this, Ben. I know the end. And I thought, I'm not sure what you're doing. Then halfway through, you went, oh, it's not the end, is it? And I went, no, no. Good bit, though.
And then this is why I guess it's almost is a bit of a different film to most films like this. Because normally, when you've realised that your mate is an FBI agent, you think, well, we either kill him or we run. Like, there's two options.
Mm.
No, no, no. Not the ex-presidents. That's not what they do. They decide, let's go team bonding, skydiving.
Yeah.
Yes.
So they go skydiving and act like nothing's happened, don't they?
But there's an undercurrent of something has happened.
Yeah. It's that elephant in the room. And then there's that scene where he chucks him the backpack and he goes, who packed my backpack?
Yeah.
Because he's thinking, I've got no parachute. They're going to kill me off.
I've got the euphonium. I haven't got the parachute. You packed a euphonium. He pulls it. And it's just a huge trombone.
And they swap the parachutes around, don't they? So he kind of has that level of trust. And then that scene where they jump out of the plane, you really almost feel like they grow closer, even knowing that it's coming to an end and they're tearing apart. You feel like they're getting so close and like they are soul brothers in a way. It's a really weird scene.
Swayze pulls out of Utah what he's always suppressed. And Swayze is the wild thing. He's the man with nature. He's living on the edge. Like School of Rock, he's sticking it to the man. He's the dude. Thank you. Good link.
That's an awful link.
And Utah's always played it by the rules. And that's why I think, I know we laugh a bit, but to me, it is a bit of a kind of love story between these two. Because he's going, I know you're in there. I know if you weren't doing that job, you'd be with us. surfing and robbing banks. I know you would.
That's the bit in it. If you weren't a detective, you're one of us.
If you weren't a detective, you would have salt spray in your hair and a tan and blonde and curly locks. You'd be Coulson.
Keanu Reeves knows it as well, doesn't he? He, you know, they're kind of both thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Mm.
Which does set you up for almost a tragedy in a way.
Yeah.
It isn't. So they get down, you know, they've had this amazing time. But in the meanwhile, whilst they've been up in the air skydiving down, the boys on the ground have been busy kidnapping Tyler.
Yes.
Swayze says to him, look, you would be one of us. And you're going to be one of us. Because we've got one more job before we go for summer.
Yeah.
And you're going to do that job with us. And he goes, no, I can't.
We kill what's the jobs.
No, I can't. I'm a cop. And it's the ultimatum of, we'll kill Tyler.
Well, because they know the game's up. They're like, if they let Keanu go, he's going to tell Boosie. And then all the gang's going to come after him. Like,
oh, get your... I don't know, that bit of it. And she's trapped and screaming for her life. I was like, oof.
Yeah, he's not going to kill her, is he, really? He's just pretending. He's got that man with a woman, female name, Rosie, to look after her. I know.
He's the wild... He doesn't serve.
He's the guy that's got a name like Rosie that you never say why you called Rosie. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
You never bring that up.
I know exactly what you mean. So they go... And I like this. They're preparing for one last robbery. What's great is... We know what a robbery looks like from them. Yeah. And as an audience member now, you're going, oh, right, masks, guns, we're in the van, we're going on a robbery. They give Keanu a gun with no bullets in it and no mask.
But the plot twist is, when they're robbing this bank, Swayze gives it the shout of, go to the vault.
Yes.
Their boys know... We don't go to the vault. The audience know we don't go to the vault. Keanu Reeves goes, you don't go to the vault. Like, what is going on?
I felt then he's not high enough.
Yeah.
He's chasing the high.
Yeah.
And he's got a cop in with him from the FBI. And he's going, do you know what? I think I'm pretty indestructible.
And that's the reason he keeps, even when he knows that he's an FBI agent, that's the reason why he keeps him and forces him into the gang. Because he says to the boys, he says, look, we've done this now. We've never done this with an FBI agent with us. Like, this is a high. This is like, we're on the edge of the edge.
Mm.
And they run, don't they? They run and basically keep to the plan, which is...
Yeah, but a few get killed on the way, don't they?
A few get killed on the way.
Some get shot and he takes them with him.
They go straight to the airport, don't they?
No.
Yeah, they do. The gang
does. They do, but Utah stays.
He's shot, isn't he?
Yeah, Utah's shot in the chest, but he's got one of those bulletproof vests on. It's all gone to shit. The cop's dead. One of the other gang is dead. They get into the van. They're off onto the airport.
Wild Hogs wants to arrest
him. Wild Hogs wants to arrest him. Boosie knows different. Boosie says, I'm taking him in. They get into the car with the meatball subs. And he goes, I know where they're going. Boosie goes, I thought you would. I've got the key to the cuffs. Let's go. So it's Boosie and Utah back together, going to the airport. We're going to take Swayze on.
They get there. Swayze's going to take off, but they spot Boosie. He takes it in the chest, doesn't he? They shoot him.
But Boosie does the classic again. Has anyone seen my dog? Boosie's meant to be hiding with a gun. He's full on. You can't miss him. You can't miss him. The lad hides, comes up behind him. He's like, there's Boosie with a massive gun.
Hawaiian.
I'm telling you, Hawaiian shirt. The most uncop cop out there. Don't tell anyone. I'm going to shoot him. I'm going to shoot Swayze. Boom, but the lad's behind him. Blows it. It's a shoot-off, isn't it? Swayze in Utah, Boosie and the other lad.
During filming, you know, Swayze wanted to go skydiving during the course of the film. And they were like, no, you're not allowed to do that because we're shooting a film. If anything happens, you'll screw everything up for us. But he was doing it anyway, and he kept on going up to Boosie saying... Boosie, come with me. Come with me skydiving. It's really good. It's really good. And Boosie was like, Swayze, I'm not interested. And he went, please, Boosie, please, please come with me skydiving. So in the end, Boosie went, all right, and went skydiving with him.
Swayze did 40 jumps whilst they filmed that film.
Did it?
40 jumps.
But they have that shot. They do have that shot of him saying that one line and then falling out the plane.
Yeah, and that is, yeah, that is him.
And that is him.
From the plane falling backwards.
Anyway, so we're back at the airport. Boosie's got shot in the back,
he's
isn't
gone.
He?
He's gone.
Did Boosie die?
Boosie's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. He's dead. The meatballs kill him.
I was tired at this point, but Boosie did die, didn't he?
You were blowing.
Boosie did die. It was a late one, Ben. It was a late
one.
You
were blowing and you weren't on your euphony.
Boosie's gone.
And it's just them two on the plane.
It's just them two on the plane.
And
no,
the other guy who's dying.
The other guy who's dying, because Boosie gets one in the chest.
Yeah.
Boosie goes, ah, my back. Have it in the chest. Boom, back. Still lost his dog. Still not found his dog,
Boosie. Or his car radio.
They're in the plane. It's Reeves, Swayze, and the guy who's basically dying. And Swayze says, you've got to come with us, and then I'll release the girl.
The only way, obviously, to drop off is to do it in style, which means skydiving.
Yeah.
But there's only two parachutes, isn't there? So the guy dying obviously gets one because he gets one and Swayze gets one. So it means that Johnny Utah is in the plane and that's it. They've gone.
But there is a pilot, but he's going to go after them, isn't he?
I guess their thinking was that that's it. You know, he doesn't kill his mate, but they get away with it.
And what happens in that moment is Bodie's character delivers Utah the ultimate high. Jump out of a plane with no parachute.
Oof, hello.
I'm going to take... You thought you were high before. I'm going to take you another level. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm playing this banging tune. Jump out the plane with no parachute. And you can see Utah going, this is it. Mm. This is the moment. And then they both lock, don't they? He flies down to Swayze.
Gun in one hand. He flies down with a gun. That is tough. When I've jumped out of a plane before, I always find it's hard to keep hold of your weapons.
Well, you've got the euphonium, so you're absolutely blowing, sinking like a stone. The euphonium's taking you down rapid.
I did a bungee jump, and it was in New Zealand, it was in Taupo, and they tie your feet for a bungee jump, and I had really sunburnt feet, so it was incredibly painful. So I'm stood on the edge of the platform, and I'm waiting to jump, and I'm absolutely bricking it. And they've done the old 3-2-1 bungee, and I've just stayed there.
3-2-1 bungee.
And I'm like, bungee. I'm like, I'll go when I'm ready, thanks. In this hand, I've got my GoPro, because I'm like, if I'm doing it...
I'm recording my head coming off. The alligators at the bottom.
It was into water, Jack. It was into
water.
Was it?
Yeah.
So I'm stood there bracing myself. And I can't jump. And then this girl, this is in New Zealand, don't forget. And then this little Irish girl goes, are you going to jump or what, Craig? So I went, oh, bollocks. Like, this isn't what I need. So jumped, GoPro in one hand. First thing I did, drop the GoPro.
Oh, gone.
Saw the footage. Oh, shit, he's dead. I did a bungee.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Battersea Power Station.
The South Bank.
Well, it was the ex-South Bank when it was there. I got on there. You sit there, don't you? And they tie the kind of elastic bands to your feet. And it's not tight. It's crappy elastic bands. And they're different colours depending on your weight. And he said to me, right, I've tied red and yellow to your feet. And you look at the chart, red and yellow's right for your weight. Do you agree? And I went, no. And he went, what do you mean you don't agree? I said, I'm colourblind. He said, are you taking the piss? And I went, no, I'm about to jump off Battersea Power Station. No, I'm not. I'm colourblind. I can't see the colours. You're saying that's red and yellow.
Yeah.
And are you all safe to jump? And I went, I'm colourblind. And he went, oh, shit, mate. Oh, fuck it. Shut the gate. Sent me up.
Jump.
And you know, so I'm going up and there's video, there's pictures of me going up. I've gone. My head's gone. I've got no idea.
Don't know. It's in your head then.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's in my head. And I'm thinking I'm not bungeeing. I'm just dropping because it's not going to be right for my weight. And you know, they said 3-2-1 bungee to you. It was gate open. Go. Chug me out. Go, like, not 3-2-1 bungee. Not have a little think. Out. So I got to the top. Out. And then as I'm going down, I'm silent. I'm silent.
Silent.
And then it takes your feet and you don't really feel it. Oh, you don't feel it. It's awful, Jack.
Yeah, mine was into water and my feet were so sunburned. It was pain. I might have a picture somewhere. I'll be able to find it. We'll find the picture of Ben on Battersby and we'll find the picture of me at Taupo.
Do you know what? I've got it in my kitchen.
Have you? Mm. Mint. Well, that's Sofa Cinema Club social media sorted.
Right, hold on. So he hasn't bungeed. He's jumped off with his big magnum. They've got each other in a clinch. And Keanu Reeves goes, You pull the cord. And he says, drop the gun. You pull the cord. No, no, no. Then it's another high off, isn't it? In the end, Reeves drops the gun, pulls the chute. They go up, they land, but Reeves has already got a bad leg.
Yeah.
So he lands and just bottles it. I love the bit where they're caught in the parachute for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
They're like they couldn't get it out. It's like real filming.
Keep rolling.
No, they'll get out, don't worry. Keep rolling. You're thinking, how tight your little package. They get out, Swayze, his mate, the nutty one with the girl, comes up in the Jeep.
Rosie.
Rosie with Tyler. The girl, with Tyler. And Reeves thinks this is it. And then Swayze's off, isn't he? In his Jeep.
Yeah, Swayze gets away. He gets the girl, and that's the best he's going to get. Because his knee's knacked. He can't give chase to Bodie. Cut to Australia.
Land Rover.
Yeah. A year later. And he said on the beach a while back, Bodie said, he's not going to miss a 50-year storm.
Yeah.
And it comes round every 50 years. Yeah. It's going to happen in Bondi Beach, Australia. And it's going to kick off and it's going to be the greatest waves that the planet's ever known.
Yeah. Ride or die, man.
And he's going to be there for it. So he's remembered that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he goes, and sure as shit, Bodie's there on the beach and he looks like he's the only one mental enough to ride the waves.
Because everyone's gone, haven't they?
Jack. In Barbados, like Caribbean, red flag day.
Doesn't stop me.
Utah goes up to the beach, throws down the mask, which he's obviously been carrying all around the world. And he goes through it, doesn't he, where he's chased him all around the world. And then it's basically the end of the film with Swayze and Utah.
He cuffs him, doesn't he?
They have a big fight, don't they? Yes, and he cuffs him. And then there's that kind of the big moment, isn't there?
All the police turn up. SWAT team are there.
Wild Hogs is there.
Wild
is there. And this is the moment where it's kind of that bit of job, friendship, right and wrong, isn't it? Because he knows what he's doing.
Mm.
You know, Swayze says, this is what I've lived for. You know what's going to happen. Let it happen. And he undoes the handcuff. And Swayze walks off, gets his surfboard, and all the SWAT team come over and go, what the fuck are you doing? You're letting him get away.
He says that line, doesn't he? I can't be caged.
Yeah. And then you see him catch a surf and die.
Yeah, pretty much. He does die.
He dies.
James Cameron said on some commentary for another film that they all believed Bodie went out there in the sea and died.
I was looking at that going, you'd be absolutely gutted. If you'd given it the full beans, you'd robbed loads of banks, you've gone round the world, you're looking at the wave of your life, you don't even ride it, you bin it straight away.
Straight off. But he always said, though, I mean, you would bin it straight off. Did you see the size of the fucking thing?
But I mean, Jesus, it's like Christ. He didn't even catch it for a bit.
No, you can't.
Oh, no! Oh, shit!
The stunt double who played Patrick Swayze had obviously had a mint filming. Like, he'd loved it because he'd just got to surf. And those waves, because they filmed it in Hawaii, those waves were actually real. Like, it was the biggest waves they'd had in, like, 5 years. And he was gutted that his job for the day was to die, because he was like, they waited until it was peak wave, and he knew that the best wave he's ever going to experience in his life, the safest he could possibly be, he had to bin it.
So,
on that cheery note,
yes,
we're going to rate it, but before we rate it, let's just have a quick break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Who goes first?
We do. It's our film.
Yeah. Shall I go first?
You go first.
Is he going to adopt Jack's new scoring system?
Oof. I'd forgot. Do you know what? I have to be honest. I completely forgot about that. It's flawed, the film.
I thought you meant the scoring system.
No, I mean, that's. I love that now. I'm well into it. We're making it up as we go along. I'm going into minuses soon.
I'm doing percentages next week.
I'm doing stars. I'm holding stars, then flags. Keanu Reeves is shite. Swayze is mint. Keanu Reeves being shit is fine. Boosie's mad. It's of a time. I love her as a director. Of that time, when I saw that film, it was fucking exciting. And maybe that's what I remember about it. It does look a bit dated. It looks a bit old. The robberies, the surfing, the kind of love story, those guys. So it's got a place in my heart. So I think my rating is probably not rational, but it's my heart. Eight.
An eight.
Yeah, big.
So is that a film that you haven't watched particularly recently then?
Yeah.
Other than last night?
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you picked it based on the memory and how it made you.
Absolutely.
A bit like how I pick films.
Exactly how you pick a film, for me, that holds. Yeah, it doesn't really bear rewatch massively, but there are real bits in there I love.
Mm.
And I love Swayze in it, and I love what she's done with that film. And it could have been just any old cack film, and it's not. So for me, I'm voting probably as a younger. When I first saw it. There we go. Shepherd?
For everything you've just said, it doesn't stand the test of time, this film. It is very dated. I watched it with my girlfriend. It was the first time she's seen it. She loved all the surfing bit and the bank robbery bit and the skydiving. But for me, I think it sort of fell apart in a way. His sort of relationship with Bodhi, and he just forgot he was a cop. I found that somewhat hard to believe. I didn't like the ending when he let him go. If you think you've taken the whole fucking LA police department out to Australia and you've just
and
let him fucking go.
But that whole point of that was he's sticking it to the man.
I don't.
That's the end. That's the end. Utah's gone. Do you know what? I'm beyond a cop now. Oh, here we go. It's a decimal place.
I'm going 6.5. 6.5.
6.5?
There's a lot to it that I don't remember. And as I'm older now and watch it, I do actually think, maybe that's why they remade it. And when I haven't seen the remake, I know there is a remake, but I haven't seen it. And I refused to watch it. And I'm not a big fan of remakes. Lion King, you know, Jumanji, I don't watch any of them. And I haven't seen the remake of Point Break, so I...
6.5?
But Keanu Reeves is really shit in it.
Yeah.
He's so shit.
Coulson, what's your rating, kidder?
I've adopted the new process.
Ah.
I'm going 7.3. Because I was going to go 7.5, but Jack's got a new rule, so I went, I'll go 7.3. Do you know what? I tell you what it is. For me, I had Fast and Furious. You had Point Break, Ben.
Yeah.
They're very similar stories.
Yes.
And they have very similar flaws.
Yeah.
So I think if I watch Fast and Furious again,
I
would really enjoy it. But watching Point Break again, I enjoyed the story, but the story is the same as Fast and Furious. Keanu Reeves, I mean, he's not particularly good. Anyone could do it, but it does work. Like, that is... He does sell it, sort of thing. He is Keanu Reeves.
I think he is in every other film. I just don't think he is in this one. But this is his makings of, if that makes sense.
Patrick Swayze, he's mint. Boosie's funny. It's got good comedy. It's not your typical action movie. It's not like the shite action movies that get made now, like Olympus Has Fallen and all that crap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is a film and an action movie. Like, it's a good film.
Yeah.
So it would have been 7.5, but seeing as I can give it a 7.3 now.
Good jump on. In. Why not?
Jump in. Did you do 6.2? Because that makes it up to the 0.5 then. What did you go, Jack?
I did 0.5, 6.5.
Jack broke his own rule. So what is that maths then, Ben? Hit us.
Oh, I don't know. I've got to get the... like I'm Carol Vorderman. I've just worked it all out. Hold on.
Well, you've gone... Did you go 0.3? So that's 0.8.
8+... You've gone what did
6.
You do?
6 7. And 7. 13.8. And you did...
21.7.
21.8.
I tell you what, this new scoring system, Jack, it's easy. It is easy.
Don't fuck around with me, Pythagoras' theorem. You came up with this. You should be telling us what the score is. You came up with the decimal places. I had it. Easy. Single numbers. That's 1, 2, 3. That's simple add, isn't it? You've dropped in with the long division.
Come on.
21.8.
Right. So, next week's film isn't chosen by me, isn't chosen by Ben, isn't chosen by Jack. It has been chosen by the audience.
Yes.
Over 6,000 of you have voted.
Have they?
And it has been a bit of a landslide, I have to say. It's been a bit of a landslide. So, the semi-finals. In number one, we've got Kez and Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
And in number two... we had City of God and Crocodile Dundee. Field of Dreams pinched Kez by about 40 votes. Pinched it really tight. Crocodile Dundee won by about 1,000.
Like, are you joking?
Absolutely.
Are you joking?
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
That's final.
Final, which is...
City of Dreams.
What?
City of Dreams. You made two films up there. City of Dreams against Crocodile
God
final.
Crocodile Kez. It's set in Sheffield, is better. Crocodile.
The final is Field of Dreams versus Crocodile Dundee.
Okay, so come on, drum roll, what is it? I don't know what it is.
What is it?
Next week we are watching Crocodile Dundee.
It's a joke. It's
the
a
audience.
Joke.
It's what not, the audience the wants. Audience
and what was the percentage there?
About 80-20. Oh, it was a landslide. It's what people want.
Right, new rule. Whoever we pick to do the synopsis, you've got to do it in your best Australian accent. That's a rule. That will be fun.
Yeah,
just for Crocodile Dundee. Not for every other film.
No. Just for Crocodile Dundee.
And remember, whatever you suggest on the Instagram, whatever films you suggest or anything, is fine. No matter how crazy the idea is, no matter how old the film, no matter how you'll think, oh, no one else will like this, that's even better. The more left field, the more it's something from your childhood, there's no wrong answers. So as we go on, the more films we have, the better. And the more kind of out there, the better.
Yeah.
I think it's important to remember that, as we say at the start of this podcast, this is the film club that all of you can join in and all of you can be a part of. Because, you know, that is what film is and that's the beauty of it. And we hope that our podcast can bring you all together. And if you want to keep in the film club and in the family, you can join us on social media through the week at Sofa Cinema Club on Twitter and Instagram. There'll be loads of stuff on there. We might even see Ben doing... a bungee jump.
A colourblind bungee. I don't know why that's not caught on.
And if you want to be a star in our film club, please go onto iTunes and leave us a review. Give us 5 stars, write a comment. It really does help us with the podcast and the charts.
Yeah, it does. Really do that. Be great. Mm. Thanks.
We will see you next week down under for a bit of Crocodile Dundee.
Good night, God bless.
Good night, God bless.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.